Hi there, Lindsay here, the Frugal Crafter, and you are listening to episode 2 of the Frugal Crafter podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Weirich, and today's topic is handmade for the holidays. What sort of things can you make and give this holiday season? Whether you're making gifts to give to family and friends, or you're making products to sell at craft fairs, we'll have some great ideas for you. Next week, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, organization. So if you want to email any questions you have about Crafty and scrapbook organization, you can email me at craftypodcast@yahoo.com, or you can simply leave a comment on my blog, thefrugalcrafter.wordpress.com. Leave the comment on the podcast post and that will get your question right to me. And if you do send me an email at craftypodcast@yahoo.com, make sure to put the topic podcast question in the subject line so I know that that's what the email is about. All right, so I don't know about you, but I start to think about wonderful gifts to give people for the holidays. And when you're giving gifts to adults, it's kind of hard. You don't want to just go buy them something that's going to be clutter or be returned or go on a yard sale next summer. You want to make sure you're giving them something that they actually want. And so a lot of times I've been giving gift cards and I feel kind of lame handing over a gift card. I kind of want something for them to open up and unwrap. So I like to make gifts. And there's a couple things that I found are kind of the no-fail gifts for certain people on my gift list. For my parents, for instance, and my in-laws, I like to give them scrapbook calendars. So basically, I find a website that lets you print like a 2012, 2013 calendar. And you can, one I really like is called pdfcalendar.com. So what I do is I just print off a year's worth of calendar on cardstock, and then I add scrapbook paper and photos, and I bind it with my little binding machine, and I make a cute little scrapbook calendar that can be kept as a scrapbook album after the year is done. And that gift always gets rave reviews, so that's fun. And it's also really fun if you have like a, you know, somebody that's going to have a baby, and you make them a calendar for the first year of the baby's life, and they can write down doctor's appointments and what the baby weighed at this day and when they said the first word, and they can hang it right up like a regular calendar and write all those little dates and info in on the little spaces of each day, and then they have that as a keepsake to remind them exactly what happened that first year. Because you know what, if you got a baby, you don't got time to do that much scrapbooking, so that really makes it quick and easy for them. And it's a really thoughtful gift that you can make, and really it doesn't cost much or anything. You probably have all of those supplies right on hand. All you need is a computer and a printer and miscellaneous scrapbook supplies. Another fun craft to make, whether you're doing craft fair, which I just signed up for my first craft fair this year, so wish me luck. I've been in craft fair mode this last week trying to get ready. But one craft you can make that's a wonderful gift, and I've done them before, is rice bags or cattle corn bags. And the way you use these, they're like a little pillow filled with either corn from the feed store, go to like Tractor Supply or Agway or whatever, you know, local feed store you have, and you can buy like a 50-pound bag of corn, of whole corn that they would feed to cattle, or you can go to the grocery store and buy a big bag of rice. Either one will work. And you basically fill this little pillow you make like out of flannel or cotton, something kind of thick, because you could get burned if it's too thin. You fill it with the rice or the cattle corn, you sew it up, and then to use it as a heat pad, all you have to do is microwave it for about 2 minutes. If you want it for an ice pack, you just keep one in the freezer all the time and you have one ready to go. They're wonderful gifts and they're so useful, and I use the ones that I make all the time. So they're a wonderful Christmas gift. You can even put like fragrance, like you could go to the, you know, natural food store and buy, you know, I don't know, rose hips and things like that to put in there and make it really smell nice when they heat it up too. So that's kind of a little fun thing. You might want to do that to the rice one, not the corn one, because the corn has its own kind of nice sweet smell to it on its own. But that's a really good craft fair item. And I also like to make a little washable cover to go with it. So like if you get a little kid with an ear infection or an earache and you give them the little heat pack to lay on and the gunk comes out of the ears, you know, it's kind of gross. So if you have that removable cover, you can just toss that in the wash and you'll be able to use your rice bag for years and years to come. So that's my, you know, that's going to be one of the items I make a lot of for the craft fair. I've actually made about 13 of them so far, and they're a lot of fun and so, so easy to do. Let's see, another fun gift to make is handmade soap. And it used to be that you could walk into pretty much any craft shop and buy the soap making supplies, a soap base that you can just melt in your microwave or on your stovetop in a double boiler. But I've found them really hard to find these last couple of years. But I looked online, and there are places you can buy it, and it's a lot cheaper than what it was in the stores. I think AC Moore still carries a soap base, and I think it's about $12 a pound. But if you go online, you can find it for about $2 a pound, $2 or $3 a pound. So ordering it online really saves a lot of money. And it's fun, because once you get melting and pouring and making your soap, it's so quick and it's so cool to see all this beautiful handmade soap you can make, considering that if you go to like the specialty shops and you buy handmade soap, or you go to farmers markets and you buy the handmade soap, and it's so gorgeous and it smells beautiful, and it's like $7 a bar, so you can make it for like, you know, pennies a bar, and it's just the same stuff. It's really wonderful. So melt and pour soaps, another one of my favorite things. I happen to have a lot of soap molds, but if you don't, one really fun soap you can make, you get the clear glycerin base and some soap dye, and it's not very expensive. And you also want some of the coconut soap base, so it's white. So you melt the white stuff and you just leave it white. And you melt the glycerin, the clear glycerin stuff, and you dye it red. And I actually have to give credit to Martha Stewart for this one, because I saw it in Living Magazine a few years ago. And I did it one Christmas because it was so pretty. And you take like a bread pan, like a aluminum loaf pan, and you line it with a saran wrap, you know, your plastic wrap. And you've got your two bases. You've got your red and you've got your white. And they're all melted. You pour in a layer of white. You let it set up. You pour in a layer of red. You go back and forth. And then when you're done, you've got this like kind of candy cane stripe, and it's really pretty. Now you can scent that. You can use just regular peppermint oil that you would use, you know, if you were making any bath salts, or if you had, you know, the good kind of bath salts, not the bad kind. That's not a good gift. Not at all. I'm talking about like your toiletries and stuff like that, your scented sugar scrubs and stuff. And if you have a little peppermint oil, you can also add that to your soap base, and it smells like candy canes, and it's wonderful soap. Another soap I call the fruitcake soap, which is really easy. You take your loaf pan again, and you want to pour in a little bit of clear soap base, and then you want to just kind of chop up a bunch of leftover like colored soap base, because you do end up with leftovers when you're making soaps, and you just throw those chunks of colored soaps in there, and you fill it up the rest of the way with your clear glycerin, and then when you slice the loaf apart into your own little bars of soap, it looks like fruitcake. It's really, really fun pattern. Another thing you can do with the melt and pour soaps, if you buy the little soap molds. Actually, you don't have to buy the soap molds. You know, I found that, this is really silly, but I have this really, you know, big golden retriever dog, but she loves those dainty little Caesar dog foods that are meant for, like, you know, the little tiny dogs. But anyways, the little plastic cups that those little Caesar dog foods come in is, like, the most beautiful soap mold. It's got, like, a scallop edge, and it's really pretty. So if you were to use that, washed out really clean, of course, as your soap base, you can actually, as your soap mold, I mean, you can actually fill it with, like, a blue-tinted glycerin, and then you could kind of set a rubber ducky in there. You might need to weight it down or tape it to the mold just to keep it set in the soap. And then let it set up, pour a little bit more on top, and then you can give that as a gift to a kid. Once you take it out of the mold, it's so cool because it looks like you've got a little rubber ducky in a little puddle of water, and they can hold on to the ducky and, you know, get themselves clean. And when they're done with the soap, they've still got a toy left over. So that's a really fun idea to do with the melt and pour soaps. You can grind up oatmeal, and you can mix that into your melt and pour soaps for a really moisturizing, scrubby type of soap. And another fun soap that I've made, how many times can I say soap during this podcast? It's kind of silly. Another really fun soap is if you take a natural, like loofah, you can get them at, drugstores and whatnot. They're like that natural, you know, plant loofahs. And you want to wrap it with saran wrap, so you seal it all up, seal the ends and the sides up so just the top is open, and then you just pour the soap base in. I like to use like a grapefruit scent and maybe just a little orange coloring in, and it just smells really invigorating, maybe a little ginger or something. And you pour that in, and when it's all dry, you slice it apart, and you've got these loofahs with the soap already in them. They're all scrubby and wonderful and great for people who like, you know, bath and spa type products. But that's another really fun thing you can do with your melt and pour soap base. And all it is 100% pure glycerin soap. There's tons of uses. You're sure to make wonderful gifts. And the nice thing about giving something like soap is that it's going to get used. It's not just going to, you know, go on the yard sale table next year. Hopefully, you know, if you give soap and maybe a hand-knitted bath mitt or something, it would get used, and people would feel really special because you took the time to make something that's high quality and really appreciated. And I think that's just the best kind of gift. And if you wanted to add a gift certificate to that, you could always throw in a gift certificate to a day spa or to, you know, Bath and Body Works or someplace like that that kind of goes along with the theme. So you can still do that gift card if you feel like you want to do a little bit more, but they've also have something to open, which is really nice. If you have a wine lover on your list, you can make wine glass charms. I don't know if you've ever used shrink plastic. If you remember, probably when you were a kid, you might have used something called Shrinky Dinks, and they're like these little just like sheets of plastic. A lot of times they had designs printed on them, and you would color them and cut them out, and your mom would put them in the oven, and then they would kind of curl all up, and then when you were done, you'd have these flat little charms that you could use as charm bracelets, or you could, you know, put them on your zipper or whatever. You'd have these like thick plastic little charms. Well, you can still get shrink plastic. You buy it in plain frosted sheets. You can rubber stamp on them. You can die cut designs. You can color them with colored pencils or markers. Just remember, when you shrink them, whatever you colored them is going to become a lot darker. So if you colored pencils, it's perfect. You know, you could punch out like the shape of a large star. It's going to shrink to about a third of its size. Make sure you punch a hole in it before you shrink it with just like a quarter inch hole punch. You rubber stamp a little motif, heat it, shrink it up, and then you can go to the craft store and get what is called wine ID glass hooks. And they're basically like a little hoop. And what you do is you'd string on a couple beads, slide on your little charm, a couple more beads, and you're done. And you've got this cute little wine glass charm. And that would be so cute to give with maybe like some hand-painted wine glasses. And it is so easy to paint your own glassware. I love to do mugs and plates for homemade cookies and all sorts of stuff just by using the glass paints. And let me tell you how to do that. I'm just a stream of consciousness here, me talking about things I like to make for the holidays. I really need to get an interview here, I think, because you're going to get sick of listening to me talk. But anyway, I digress. You go to the dollar store and you check out the lovely glassware section. I know you're thinking, well, probably pretty cheesy, but you know what? You can get plain white plates, plain white mugs, plain glass wine glasses. So what you want to do is stick with the plain classic designs. So I think a really nice gift is to buy 4 wine glasses, kind of the generous sized ones, and just paint a simple rosebud or just like a little flourish. You don't have to be fancy, just something simple and elegant. And you paint your little design on with your glass paints. Folk Art makes Folk Art enamels. They're easy to find. They're opaque. You can find them at, I think you could even get them at Walmart probably, but you certainly can get them at any of your craft stores. And after you paint it, you let it dry overnight, and then you pop it in the oven for 30 minutes at 350, and after that, they are done. They're all set. I wouldn't wash them in the dishwasher, but usually with wine glasses, you don't anyway. And you want to make sure you don't put the paint right up against the edge where your mouth would be. They always caution on the bottles of paint, don't put the paint where the food's going to touch. So if you want to do like a mug, if you want to make little cocoa gifts, like, you know, wrap up a few, you know, packets of cocoa and some marshmallows and gumdrops and stuff for a kid's teacher, your kids can easily paint a snowman or a candy cane or a reindeer on the side of a white mug, fill it with your cocoa packets and your gumdrops and your marshmallows, and that's a perfect teacher's gift. So look, it costs you $1 to go out and buy the mug, and you can make tons of those little mugs. I mean, a bottle of that enamel paint to paint on glassware will last you for years. So really, it's really a fun gift, and you can do it on so many surfaces. Like large plates, if you go into the dollar store and buy a large white plate, paint a little design of stars and Christmas trees around the rim, and then you can bake cookies, put them in the center, you know, cover them with the saran wrap, and there's a gift. It's just so easy and fun and personal, and you can bet that every Christmas that plate's going to be brought back out again and have cookies on it, either to pass along to neighbors or just out for their own decoration. It's just a special, fun gift, and I love it when it's a craft that you and your kids can do together. Another fun craft that you can do with the kids is to make polymer clay beads and brooches. You can take some small cookie cutters that you're not going to use for cookies again, because the polymer clay isn't, you don't really want to cross-contaminate your food thing with your clay thing. But a fun thing you can do is to use small cookie cutters like Christmas trees and wreaths and just hearts and stars, and you can make beads or pins like brooches, Christmas tree ornaments, and you don't really even need cookie cutters. You can just give the kids some clay and let them play with it, and they'll make wonderful things to give as Christmas gifts. Another fun thing to do with the clay is to go to like your dollar store. As you can tell, I love the dollar store. Or
You know any place that would sell silverware, and you can cover the handles of silverware with clay, and you can stamp names in it, like Susie and Billy, and, you know, stamp all the kids' names in it, and they could have their very own special silverware to use. And I like to get the silverware that's already kind of chunky, like the ends kind of have like that lucite or that kind of, not, it's, I don't know if it's a plastic or like a tile type of wrapping on it. Those are really good because they can stand the high heats of baking the clay, but they also give a little bulk, so you're not trying to wrap clay over just a tiny little thin metal handle. But those are really fun. And I've seen really cool designs where you take like teaspoons. You know how you can get the baking spoon set that has like a teaspoon, half a teaspoon, and a tablespoon? Well, you can wrap the handles of those with clay, and I've done this several times, and they make the cutest little gift for anyone who likes to cook. You could throw in one of those, like, you know, cookies in a jar or pancakes in a jar, those cute little layered jar gifts that people make. That is perfect with some polymer clay covered measuring spoons, or even the metal measuring cups, you can cover the handle of those. Those are just adorable and very well received. Now, to bake your clay, you're, depending on the type of clay you buy, some take longer to cook and some take shorter, and depending on the thickness, you need to adjust your cooking time. But generally, it's 275 degrees Fahrenheit for 30 minutes per quarter inch thickness. I think Primo takes a little bit longer. I think your higher quality, more expensive clays take a little bit longer to cook, and they're a little more durable than your cheaper clays like your Sculpey 3. But if you're doing like kind of chunky things like beads, stuff that's not too thin and flexible, the Sculpey 3 will work just fine. And the nice thing about Sculpey 3 is that it's really easy to knead. It's really easy for kids to work with. So, and another tip when you're working with polymer clay, you want to make sure that you really knead it good before you use it. Because if you don't, even if it feels soft out of the package, if you don't mix it up and knead it very good, it's going to be brittle after it breaks, and it could crack and kind of just be brittle. If you try to bend it, it'll just shatter. So you want to make sure you knead the polymer clay. I actually use an old pasta machine, like a metal crank on the side pasta machine, to knead mine, because I do, when I do clay, I do a lot of it, and I need that extra help getting it all conditioned. So polymer clay, you can't go wrong. That's a really, really fun thing you can make some handmade gifts with. I love to make beads with it. They make little bead rollers. There's so many little things you can buy for polymer clay, too, that are really fun to work with. Let's see. If you are a sewer, you could make little aprons. You can make little supply roll-ups, like for kids, a little crayon roll-ups, where basically you have like a long strip of fabric, and you just sew little pockets where you could stick crayons and markers and pencils, and maybe a larger panel where you could slide in a ruler and a notepad and different things like that. There's a crafty little gift you can make. If you knit, people always love mittens and throws and ponchos and shawls. Those are wonderful gifts, and they're great for selling at craft fairs, especially mittens and scarves and hats and things that don't take as much time but kind of are fun to make, and you can, you know, make them at night when you're watching TV. Those are wonderful to put on the craft fair table. And if you just love to create but you don't have people that you want to give the gifts to, you can always give to civic organizations such as Project Linus. They collect handmade quilts for kids in the hospital. Also, most hospitals in their neonatal intensive care unit, the NICU, they will take hand-knitted caps. And so those little tiny caps so babies can stay warm when they're in the hospital. There's so many different organizations. Even your local school will likely take in hand-knitted mittens for kids that forget theirs when they come to school and they want to go outside and play, but they need to stay warm. So there's all sorts of ways to give to your favorite charities, too, and use your crafty skills at the same time. Now, if you're a scrapbooker, there's a lot of really special gifts that you can make. And one that's went over really well, in addition to the scrapbook calendar, of course, is to do the heritage pictures. Because I think when people are scrapbooking, they're usually kind of scrapbooking their most recent things, like their children, their, you know, maybe their pets, but they're not really going back too far because it just seems so daunting to think of all those old photographs and hunting down all the history to go with them, and it's a lot of work. But, you know, it's not any more work to do it three times, really, than it is to do it once. So if you are the family scrapbooker and you have photos and you have the stories, type them out and make a simple little book and give that, you know, to your sister and your brother and your parents, and they will really appreciate having all that information written down. And you could even make a copy to give to your children someday, because those are, the memories that they're going to keep. Those are the gifts they're going to want to hang on to year after year. They're certainly not going to go out on the yard sale. Jewelry, that's always a really great gift, handmade gift for the holidays. And if you're doing craft fairs, I love the 5-minute earrings. They're wonderful for craft fairs because you can sell them really inexpensively. And, you know, it's nice, even if you do make gorgeous jewelry that takes hours and hours and hours, and you have it out on display and people just love it and they want to look at it, but when you put a lot of time into something, you have to figure in your supplies and your money. So if you are selling at a craft fair, having some small earrings that somebody can pick up and take with them is just great. And if you're making gifts for people, who doesn't love jewelry? What woman doesn't like to get a new pair of earrings or a bracelet or necklace? I mean, it's wonderful. So jewelry is always a great gift for the holidays. Let's see, what else can you make? If you, if you like to sew, you can always whip up things like tablecloths and matching napkins, things like that. You can, if you don't feel like giving them away, you can whip them up to decorate your house and get ready for the holidays. Candles, they're also wonderful to make for Christmas or even birthdays or craft fairs or whatnot. I have a crock pot that I keep just for wax, and then I just buy the paraffin, or you can buy the soy base, whatever type of base you want, beeswax. Just melt in a big crock pot. You can alter tins. You can save jars, make candles in jars. You can use like plant pots. You just have to make sure you cover up the bottom with a little wax seal. There's lots that you can do making gifts for the holidays. So if you have any comments, if you want to share your favorite gifts that you make for the holidays, simply leave a comment on my blog on this post, or you can email me at craftypodcast@yahoo.com. And I do have a viewer question I have to share with you, and this was emailed to me at the craftypodcast@yahoo.com. And it's from Karen, and Karen writes, "Hi, I was wondering if you could tell us how you print your pictures in small sizes for your scrapbook pages. I currently use paint, but it's not consistent, so I was hoping you can share your trick. Do you print your pictures at home or send them to the Photoshop? What do you recommend? Thanks in advance, Karen." Okay, Karen, well, I personally print my photos at home. And to get the small sizes, I like to use a program called Picture Collage Maker Pro. And I like that because, well, for one, it's very easy to use, and two, the print quality is really good. I had a program that came with my Canon camera. I have a Canon PowerShot, and the program that came with it was called Zoom Browser, and I loved that I could make little photo collages and print them, but for some reason, I never felt the quality was that good coming out of that software. So I would always go back to Corel PaintShop Pro and print my photos from there. And then I found Picture Collage Maker Pro, and I like it because you drag your pictures onto a template and you get them just the way you want them, and then you print it, and you don't have to go into another software. You can just do it right from there. I've also used a program called Shape Collage, and it's very easy, but you have to save it and then print it in another program. At least from the free version I was using, you had to do that, and that was kind of a pain. And of course, you could go into like Photoshop Elements or Photoshop or PaintShop Pro, and you could resize everything on a new document and print it. But I tried Picture Collage Maker Pro. I'll put a link to it on my blog so you can click over and see if you like it. I think they've got a 15-day free trial, so you can see if you like it before you buy it. And I do believe the price is $40, but I really like that. You can create a blank template and put all the photos you want in the size you want, or you can use one of their grid templates and just drag and drop until you have all your photos there. And that's, of course, if you have a decent printer at home. If you don't have a decent printer, you can upload it to wherever. I print from home, but I also upload photos to Walmart.com so my sister can pick them up in her town because we live a little ways apart. So that way I'll take pictures at her, say for her kid's birthday, and then I'll edit the photos and upload them, and she'll, you know, go pick them up at her Walmart. But I do notice when I go to order them, right before I'm done ordering, they say, "Do you want a collage print for like $2 or $2.75 or something?" And that would be a way to get your smaller photos. You could click yes, and then you'd have all sorts of little photos to play with. But I really like the flexibility of being able to print from home. I have an HP PhotoSmart printer, and if you read my blog, you'll know that I use the cheap ink from Amazon.com. I just get the remanufactured cartridges, so they're really cheap. It's like $13 for 13 cartridges or something. It's crazy, and usually my ink runs about about $50 or $60 for all six cartridges that it takes, so you can see that's a huge savings. And I haven't noticed a problem in quality. I think quality's really good, and my printer's pushing 4 years, so 4 years old. So it's I like printing from home, and I'm pretty pleased with the results I get. I also use HP premium glossy photo paper, and I get that at Sam's, and it's about $30 a ream. So that's what I do. But if you don't feel like your printer's up to it, or you don't want to use up your ink and paper, certainly send them out to get printed. Another thing you could do if you have photo editing software is that you can, make a new 4x6 document, and you could paste in two pictures, resize them, so you've got two different wallet-sized pictures on that one 4x6, and then just save it as a JPEG, and they would print that as a 4x6, and then you could have your two photos that way. But I highly recommend in trying out a few of those collage softwares. You may be able to find some free ones. Picture Collage Maker Pro is the one I use. But, look around. I know HP on their website, and I know it sounds like a commercial for HP, but not really because I don't use their ink. But on their website, they had a program called, I think it was called Image Zone, and I used that before. And that let you do a collage print. I'm not sure if it's still on their website or not. I'll look. If I can find it, I will put a link on my blog so you can just click over and check it. But if you come up dry and you want to find just a free collage program, just Google free, photo collage program, and I'm sure you'll come up with something. But anyway, those are my recommendations, and yes, I print my photos at home, and that is how I do it. I want to thank you so much for listening. Next week, we're talking about crafty storage, so if you have any suggestions or questions on how to store your craft supplies in style, send me an email at craftypodcast@yahoo.com, or simply leave a comment on the blog. Thank you so much for listening, and happy crafting!